The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
This is the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Good morning. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you today?
Great. How are you?
Very good.
We're here once again with Mark Kies, Public Information Officer with the Pennsylvania State Police. How are you?
I am great. Great to be back.
Thank you for coming back with us. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. where we talk real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We've been guiding, assisting, and advising clients in real estate matters for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, click on the Dunmore Corners Live webcam tab and see what's going on at Dunmore Corners.
Look us up on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. View our listings, search the MLS listings, and listen to archive radio shows by going to mobilefriendlyjruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. We're looking to add some realtors, full-time realtors, to our sales force at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. And it's the time of year to get into the business if you are looking for a career change or a office change if you already have a license. We've got a lot of business and we have been pretty much slammed.
Yes, we need more people.
We need more hands on deck because we can't keep up. We're doing the best we can, but we're very busy at a time that's traditionally slow. So we have a lot of opportunity for those seeking to have a great career in real estate. Okay, Mark Kies, Public Information Officer with the State Police. Here once again, last week we talked about identity theft. We're going to continue that conversation this week. We talked about how it happens and what to do to try to prevent it. Although, you know, there's not a foolproof way of avoiding it altogether. There are things that we can all do, you know, steps we can take, cautious steps and precautions while we're on line. Online is where we're all at these days. That seems to be what's happening out there is, there's these thieves that infiltrate our information, whether it's our banking information, our credit card information, or just by a phishing email.
Right, a phishing email, right? Or they go on Facebook and they get my birthday and then they look up my address and somewhere else they get my social security number. Before I know it, they're pretending to be me.
Okay, so let's continue this conversation this week. Last week we talked about how maybe we should avoid using a debit card because the debit card is connected directly to our checking account. Whether we have $5 in that account or $5,000 in that checking account, we're vulnerable if we're using a debit card. A lot of banks put out promotions. Use our debit card. Use it 10 times a month. Get X amount of dollars back. Very enticing offers to use the debit card. I used to use it everywhere. I no longer do that. But that debit card is also a credit card, right? So if I'm using it as a credit card, am I better protected even though it's linked to my checking account or my savings account?
When you have credit cards linked to debit cards, it's essentially just a debit card. It's just another way of paying for it at venues where they accept credit cards. So if they get the information for the card, regardless of whether you're using it as a debit or a credit, they're still gaining access to your personal account. And there are some bank accounts that are pretty extensive. Some people have a lot of money in their bank accounts with ATM cards attached to them. So
if it's connected to your account, you're not safer or more secure by using the credit option as opposed to the debit option.
That's correct.
Uh-huh.
And the difference between the debit and an actual credit card is that that's your personal money in your bank account that's being accessed as compared to borrowed money that you at some point have to pay back. So you stand a chance of losing a good chunk of money if you have a lot of money in your bank account attached to that ATM card.
Right. When I use a credit card, I know many of them say you're only liable for the first $50. So say somebody gets my credit card and they put $2,500 on, they buy an 80-inch TV, and, you know, and if they use my debit card, I'm out $2,500. I don't, oh, no, I'd rather be protected. I use my credit card everywhere. I never, ever used a debit card.
And you mentioned last week that it's a lot of times people out of our country that are doing this to us, and oftentimes we don't know who they are and where they are, and really there's no way to find out. But if not using that debit credit card, I think I'm going to go home after the show and cut it up. I mean, I've stopped using it. You know, my husband brought my attention to that. Like, you know, I wouldn't be doing what you're doing. And I listened for once in my life. I did listen.
Really? Write this thing down. Write it down. Mark, you heard it.
Because it's scary. I don't want that happening to me.
And there are some great ways to use debit cards, and they do come in handy. That's something that I've relied on for years. That's all I use, is a debit card. And for those people who keep registers of other transactions, especially families who have joint debit cards, I know personally, a little personal story here, that I had a habit of using my ATM card and not putting the withdrawal in our check register. So, you know, and it was attached to a checking account. So my wife would assume we'd have all this money in there that I never took out and make purchases herself. And we'd basically run our account very low. So what I started doing after a while, I did get a credit card and I started making purchases off of the credit card. So I'd use that weekly. And, you know, plus on some of these cards, you get bonuses for maybe, you know, airfare or cruises or just bonus points that you could, you know, redeem later through the credit company. But, you know, I'd use that through the week and keep all my receipts. And at the end of the week, I would make one entry into my check register to pay back the credit card. So I wasn't building up a high balance on the credit card, but I was using it the same as an ATM card, just not using the ATM card itself. So I had one payment out of my account to the credit card, and my ATM account was safe at that point.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, we were talking about identity theft last week, and we're continuing to talk about it. Some of these third party providers that actually watch my credit and report to me, like I'm going to say it, I have LifeLock, and when there is a credit card, we have LifeLock, and when a credit card is opened in my name, I'll get a text or I'll get a phone call immediately, and they'll say, "Is this you?" So I don't mind paying the few dollars a month that it is. I get a peace of mind. What do you say?
Yeah, there's several great monitoring companies out there, and that's the nice part. They generally will have the basic idea of your habits, your daily habits, weekly habits, and when something strays from that, that's an indicator, and they will contact you right away. And a lot of those companies will also insure you, so to speak, up to a certain amount, and then go after the person who did this to try to figure out who that was and, you know, get any money back that they can. But there's some great companies out there. And, you know, for people who do like using their ATM cards, too, another third party company out there is PayPal. And there's similar companies like PayPal. But you are actually giving your information to PayPal. And then when you make purchases through them, it's not your personal information that makes the purchase. It's PayPal. So the vendor does not have access to your personal information then.
Let's talk about PayPal, because PayPal could link to a checking account the same way as a debit card can, if you set it up that way, or you can link it to a credit card.
I have mine linked to the credit card.
Yeah, I do too. But for a lot of people, they've, you know, made it linked to their checking account or a savings account.
Yeah, you could do it right from a you know, like a checking account, savings account, credit card, debit card.
So then you're opening yourself
you
up.
You are, and we talked about this a little last time, where the companies are vulnerable to identity theft as well, or at least having your records accessed through them. So it's important that their security features are up. And I mean, how many times has it been in the national news, these large companies getting hacked? So everybody is vulnerable. And that's why this is becoming such a big national problem, is because no matter how good the safety measures are, it still happens. And again, you're not going to stop this 100%, but you can do some things to minimize it.
Sure you can. But it's, you know, you think, okay, this saving me some steps. This is a great idea. It comes right out of my account. But from a security safety standpoint, it just doesn't make any sense to link it directly to any account because you're opening yourself up to losing lots of money.
Yeah. And, you know, people rely on the credibility of the person on the other side that they are buying things from when they're providing credit cards or credit card information to them. And there's been cases where, you know, employees have stolen information.
Yeah, it happened to me.
Restaurants, yeah.
Yeah.
It's happened to me.
So it's tough. It's a really tough crime to try and prevent, but it's an extremely tough crime to investigate, especially when it's a national theft that happens when someone out of the country is accessing your information. And one thing that you know, makes it kind of easy is that there are companies out there. If anybody, you know, signs up for different websites or, you know, maybe they'll sign up as a customer, they'll get an account. So they're a reoccurring customer. There's a privacy notice, and you see these all the time for a variety of different type of companies out there, that they have a policy rule, and they'll send out you know, privacy policies and let you know what their privacy policy is and that they don't sell it to third party sites. But there are companies, and if you're not paying attention, you might sign up for something online that company will sell your information to other businesses generally. But if you have somebody on the other side, out of country maybe, that gives a fictitious name and company, you know, a business name, they can access that information as well. They're paying for your information, and they can then go ahead and, you know, start using your information to withdraw money out of your accounts.
I never read the privacy policy once.
Ever.
I've tried to, but it's in legalese. It's like another language.
I've never even tried to.
Pages,
I just click the box and move on.
All right, read this 5 pages and tell me what you think.
And generally, if you find a company that's putting a privacy policy out there, that's true and correct for them. But there's other sites that you might sign up for that doesn't say that. They don't have a privacy policy. So you just have to be aware that it's a credible company that you're dealing with.
Okay, so it's all about limiting our exposure and thinking twice when we're putting some information in and linking things. And so this is great advice. We have with us today Mark Kies, Public Information Officer with the Pennsylvania State Police. You know, there's those horror stories where you can't ever find who and why and what, and any of the you don't get any of your questions answered as to who you know, did this bad thing. But there also are a lot of good stories, and there are companies out there that stores and places that have really good security systems in place to to protect us if a card of ours is stolen or somebody's trying to use our identity. And you have a good story regarding
that. Yeah, with the age of you know, digital media and high def cameras, the clarity on some video cameras are great now. You know, people used to watch the news and you'd see a bank robber and you'd say, wow, that looks like a big blob on the TV screen. I can't tell who that is. But the high def cameras that are coming out are great now. You know, we have cases that a lot of the companies who do install these systems are very cooperative with us because they're losing a lot of money as well. And you know, we've been able to take reports from people who have had checks stolen or credit cards stolen and go to these stores. And, you know, we could track at least the date and the time of where a card is used. Banks are very good at documenting that. And it's all on the computer. You can get it almost real time when your card is used and where. So we go to the area or the store, the business that the card was used at, and try to retrieve any kind of video. And we've been very successful getting that video and going back to the victim and having them identify the person or putting it out through the media, and someone will recognize the face and point us in the right direction so we can, you know, then pinpoint who did it and it'll go after them for restitution for that person.
Good. Get the bad guys. That's what it's all about, right? Mark Kies, public information officer with the Pennsylvania State Police. We're headed towards a break. Pat, would you like to review two listings, please?
Yes, we have a lot of house for not a lot of money. That's a two-unit at 424 Brook Street in Scranton for only $60,000. If you've ever thought of buying an investment property, this might be the one. It has a one-bedroom apartment and a two-bedroom apartment that are both in move-in condition. All of the utilities are separate, including heat and water. It also has a paved driveway for off-street parking, a fenced-in yard, and low taxes. That's a two-unit in move-in condition at 424 Brook Street in Scranton for only $60,000, and that's listed by Karen Kashuba of our office. Also, we have a stunning, like-new Southern Colonial-style home with four bedrooms and four baths at 300 Schoolside Drive in Troop, for only $399,000. This home is really, it's a stunner. This beauty sits on 3/4 acre on a corner lot in Schoolside Estates. This sophisticated home offers a main level master suite, beautiful dramatic foyer, two staircases to the second level. It's got the beautiful balcony overlook, exquisite lighting, magnificent hardwood floors. I want to move here. With inlays, it's got a two-car garage, a granite kitchen countertops, and of course, it has central air conditioning, and this home is only 10 years old. This home is unbelievable. It also has, Mark, it's got a theater room on the second floor. I'd like to have a theater room in my house.
Absolutely.
And it's
all,
and it's got a setup for the laundry on the first or second floor. You can put it wherever you want. The concrete driveway and the sidewalks must be seen to be believed. That's a stunning four-bedroom, four-bath home on 3/4 acre lot at 300 Schoolside Drive in Troop, for $399,000, and that home is listed by Kristen Barone of our office.
I have a funny story regarding that home, but Pat, I didn't tell you, it has something that you've always wanted, more than a theater room, a train room.
Really?
You should have seen their platform. I didn't tell you about it. I know, there's the sigh. It's to die for. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I was taking pictures there with our realtor that was that listed it, and she set the alarm off. It has an alarm system, and a retired state policeman who now works for Troop as a patrol officer
rolls up,
and I'm out on the front lawn taking the pictures. He didn't even get out of the car. I guess
you got that criminal look on you.
I must have that innocent.
No, you look. Look at that criminal look.
And he said, "What's up?" I said, "We set the alarm off. I'm sorry to send you out here." He said, "No problem." Then we started to talk about real estate. It's probably somebody you know. He recently retired.
I think I may.
Okay, don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. We'll be right back. In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting, too. Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jready.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. Thanks for tuning into the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
And we're back. This is fascinating stuff.
Very interesting. We have with us Mark Kies, information.
Trooper Mark Kies.
Okay. Public information officer. I want to make sure I get it correct. Public information officer with the state police. We really appreciate 2 weeks in a row of your valuable time to discuss identity theft. And we had a great first half of the show, and we were talking about PayPal and credit cards and debit cards that are linked to our personal checking or savings accounts, and how we really shouldn't do that. We should have a regular credit card with a credit card company, open that up, make our charges with that, and then...
Yeah, and I don't want to scare anybody off from using ATM cards, because there are a lot of banks out there have made great strides at protecting that information and will actually alert you if your ATM card has been misused, or they believe there's an indicator that it's been misused. And in the case, this actually happened to my wife and I. Our card was somehow used down in New Jersey, and we have no idea how that person got the information to use it, and they purchased gas. So, you know, we're guessing at that point there was a car that was duplicated. They got our information. We were able to put it on a card and use it at the gas pump. But we have no clue how that information got out there. But the bank did alert us immediately, within minutes of that card being used. And they were able to put a hold on the card for us and reissued a different card under a different card number. So, you know, it's I don't want to say don't use them, because I still do use mine. Banks are, you know, doing as much as they can to try to protect them, but just use a lot of caution with them. If you have a choice of using another card, or let's say you don't have that much money in your bank account, and you're not worried about it, by all means, go out and use it. A lot of people will have savings accounts or checking accounts separate from their ATM account. They'll have a smaller balance in there. And if, you know, it gets hacked and somebody spends
$300,
yeah, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
That's an excellent idea.
Around the holidays, I like to recommend to some people, some banks will do this, if you have a ATM account or even a credit card, you could call your bank and say, will you reduce the limit of spending on this card over the next couple months? And some banks will actually do that. So maybe you can only withdraw $200 a day out of your ATM account, or take a $15,000 credit card down to $5,000. You know, so they're not spending way beyond your credit limit. You could reduce it. So that's one thing that people could do around the holidays. With so much internet shopping and people out in stores, that's one of the times people have to be careful about identity theft and having their cards, the information from their cards hacked. So one thing I like to recommend a lot to people, it's a little bit extra work, but go out and get gift cards. You can use your ATM or your credit card to buy them. Go to a supermarket or, a lot of drugstores carry those. Go out, buy gift cards and put limits on them. Buy several of them, maybe just put $200, $300, $500 on them. And you have control of how much is in that account. If it gets lost, you're minimizing the amount of money that is being taken out of your account, rather than using an ATM card. Get a gift card and use those. And again, it's up to you how much you want to put on them. And just one other way to reduce loss and maximize protection.
You know, you mentioned about gas being purchased, and there is a way that these criminals and thieves are getting at our credit cards and our debit cards. They're putting a little, what is it called?
Skimmer.
Called skimmers.
Skimmers. Right. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, skimmers luckily is not a huge problem in Pennsylvania. We have had incidents in Pennsylvania, but it's migrating out of the larger cities and making its way into Pennsylvania. But skimmers are a way for people to illegally obtain the information off of cards that are being used. A skimmer is simply a little plastic cover that fits over the port that you stick your credit card into. And they are so well designed that they actually look like they're a part of the equipment, the ATM machine or gas pump that you're used to seeing. So someone will stick their ATM card or credit card into the skimmer. It's just, like I said, just this cap that goes right over the actual port. And it's got electronics in it that will collect the data off of your card. Now, skimmers work in two parts. Someone can access and gain all your information off of that card. What they will then do is duplicate another card. They will put your information on another card to use somewhere else. However, they have to have a PIN number. So Or, you know, with credit cards, they would need your zip code. So there is always a secondary device attached to an ATM, and it's a pinpoint camera that you could find a lot of ATM machines or gas pumps will have flyers in there, like gas pumps maybe for a gas card or the ATM for the particular bank. So you might find a little add-on to a flyer with a tiny little hole in it that is watching for you to enter your PIN or your zip code. And then someone then needs to come back to the pump and collect the skimmer and the recorded video to put your PIN number and the data off of that skimmer together to be able to access your account. So there's a couple ways to minimize that type of theft. Number one, watch for the skimmer itself. Usually, the port on the ATM or gas pump is, you know, secured. It's fixed right to the unit. Skimmers are attached, so you can wiggle the port and, you know, give it a good tug. If it comes off, likely it's a skimmer, and you will actually see the port underneath it. So if that happens, take it inside, report it to the gas company. They need to call the police. You will sometimes see a little bit of residue from some kind of adhesive on the skimmers as well. So if you see the ATM or a credit card port has some adhesive around it, again, let the gas station or with the ATM company know that you feel that it might be compromised. Check that out. Looking for the cameras, it's a little harder because there are pinpoint holes everywhere that are just natural to the device. So look for, you know, something. It's usually, you know, several inches away, but, you know, look for items that might have been affixed to the device afterwards. Like I said, it might be just a little box with flyers in it, or just it could be just a little square box that looks like it's made to go right on an ATM, and it has a hole in it. So cover the hole when you're punching in your ATM number or your PIN number, or cover the actual keypad itself. Put your hand over the keypad, type it in. You'll notice lately that there are a lot of native blocks on ATM machines now. You'll see like a little hood over the keypad. That's why they're there, because they're trying to protect your information from any cameras that might be placed on these machines afterwards.
It's really hard not to be paranoid in this world, and when we're talking about something like this. But, you know, I'm thinking, you know, it's not only a gas station at the pump that would, you know, have a skimmer on it. I mean, we're swiping wherever we go. You know, you go to Macy's, you go to Boscov's, you go to Walmart, you go to the drugstore, you go to the grocery store, wherever we're going, we're swiping. It could be on any one of those.
Absolutely. And they have been found in, you know, stores on the ATM machines at supermarkets and
the red box video rental too, I've heard.
Yeah, that's another great place. Generally, they're put where people will go. There's a lot of personal interaction with the device that's sort of one-on-one, where because they have to come back and get this, they have to install it and come back and get it. So if it's a red box placed in kind of a secure area, or if they're just very fast, they could get up there and just pop it on real quick and take off. But that's why ATM machines at mini marts are also very susceptible, because they're placed in kind of isolated areas.
We had 2 weeks of wonderful, excellent discussion with you, Mark Kies, Public Information Officer with the State Police. Thank you so much. We enjoyed our time with you. We're going to close the show with a listing, please.
Yes, we have a two-unit duplex at 234 First Street in Blakely for $124,000. This home is in move-in condition with a two-bedroom apartment and a one-bedroom apartment. There's been a lot of work done on this home, including a new roof, a new retaining wall, and a remodeled kitchen and bath. There's plenty of off-street parking, a covered front porch, some hardwood floors, and a finished attic that could be a bedroom or additional living space. This is perfect for the investor, or you could live in one unit and have the rent pay the mortgage. That's a two-unit duplex at 234 First Street in Blakely for $124,000, and that's listed by Sam Shelter of our office.
Thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. And don't forget to check out our listings, search the MLS listings, or listen to our archive radio shows by going to mobilefriendlyjruddy.com. JRUDDY.com. Have a great week.